Hello and welcome to Finding Truth Matters with Dr. Andrew Corbett.
Fellowship is when we are meeting together for the purpose of drawing each other closer to Christ.
Is the church just an accidental group of people who hang out on a Sunday? Far from it. Fellowship within the church relies on a vital connection to Christ and each other, and it's not accidental. Dr. Corbett continues in the series The Mission of the Church. Tonight, fellowship. Let's join Dr. Corbett now.
Father, we ask that you would speak to us, help us to hear your voice. May your word come alive in our souls, and may we be radically strengthened because of your word and your presence tonight. Amen. We're going to have a look at in a moment, what is it, and I want you to start to think about this, what is it that makes for a mature Christian? What is it? What's a mature Christian? Now, I'm sure for those that maybe we begin to roll out some of our ideas, we would roll out ideas like this. A mature Christian is somebody who knows the Bible. Yep. A mature Christian is somebody who is committed. Yeah, sure, should be. And both of those things should be true. But what is it that distinguishes an immature Christian from a mature Christian? I have seen marriages. I've been a pastor now nearly 25 years, and I've seen marriages where a couple have been married sometimes 55 years. And really, they've only been married 1 year. 55 times over. They've never really gone deep. They've never really gone into those areas of intimacy with each other where they've let the other person hurt them. And we distinguished between hurt and harm. Hurt is not always bad for you. So when we talk about being in church, for some people, they won't be a part of a church because there's hurt involved. Yeah, I reckon there is. In fact, if you want to know hurt, get married. If you want to know hurt, get a deep friendship. A deep friendship. It will hurt. Because someone will say something to you. Someone will do something. Someone will let you down. Or someone will challenge you in a way you don't want to be challenged. And it will hurt. But it will probably do you good. So when we ask the question, what does a mature Christian look like? I guarantee you, somewhere in the process between going from baby Christian to mature Christian, there will be hurt, and a lot of it. So I want you to ponder this question as we look at this tonight. As we're looking at the mission of the church, some of you are going to think, mission? Yeah, we prayed for our missionaries. Mission is another word for purpose. Why are we here? What are we doing? And we've seen that the first purpose of the church, the first mission of the church, is to worship. And we've seen that worship commences when you surrender to God. In fact, any act of worship beyond that point of surrender is merely another expression of surrender. That's what worship is. And that's the primary purpose of the church, to facilitate worship. When we do music, it is to do something in your heart to cause you again to surrender to God and express your surrender to God. When we preach the word, it is to bring you to a point where you are beholding Jesus so that you in your soul bow down again to him and go, he's worthy. I'm going to follow him. I'm going to give my life to him. That's what the preaching of the word's all about. So, the second purpose, and it is the second purpose, is to encourage one another. By becoming a part of a community. There's another word that we generally hear for that, and it's the word fellowship. Encouraging through fellowship. So, here's where we're going to build on the first concept of worship and link that in with fellowship. Christian worship must at times be private and individual. In fact, you should be having what's called a quiet time. Each day, quiet time, personal devotions, there's all sorts of expressions for it, but a quiet time. And if we were all in a home group right now and I was the home group leader, I would kind of stop the study right now and I would challenge everybody in my home group and I would say, Tell me, when do you habitually have your quiet time? Let's start with, and we go around the room. And if someone said, well, I don't, we'd beat you up. In love. We would hurt you. Thank you. That's right. That's the beautiful word I'm looking for. Because we would want you to enter into the joy of your Lord. We would want you to go, hey, hang on. If you're going to go from being a baby Christian to being a mature Christian, and you think you're going to get there without spending personal, private, quiet time with the Lord each day, you are deluded. You'll never get there. You must have personal, private, individual times of worship. But you also must have times of worship in the midst of community. And I'm going to show you why. As we go through the scriptures, I'm going to show you that you will be, I hope, left with no argument against this. And that's not a challenge, or it could be a challenge, but it's really something I want us to come into a freedom about this. So, here's a statement. Unless a believer is planted in a local church, they will never be able to fully grow as a disciple of Christ. That's building on that previous statement. And again, I'm going to show you why. So here we have 1 John 1:7. I want you to hear this. Hear what John is saying. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. Now, what I want you to hear here is what I call triangulated fellowship. That's not meant to be a yoga maneuver. It's something I want you to get. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. So here's what I want you to begin to hear. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, it's then that we can have fellowship with each other. In other words, my fellowship with you is not based on me getting close to you. It's in us getting close to Christ. So my fellowship with you, in this sense, is different to my socializing with you. We can socialize, and we probably should. You probably should invite the Corbett family over more for coffee and meals. That's just a rebuke. Take that as a hurt. And so we probably should socialize more. We probably should. But that's not fellowship. Fellowship is when we are meeting together for the purpose of drawing each other closer to Christ. That's fellowship. So when we talk about the church worshipping, the church fellowshipping or encouraging one another, the church empowering people for ministry and the church reaching out, they're the purposes of the church that we're unpacking now. And when we meet together for the mutual purpose of you and I doing that together, we are fellowshipping. That's what we're doing, we're fellowshipping. So as we walk in the light, as he is in the light, it's then that we have fellowship with one another. And it's not our fellowship with one another that cleanses us from sin. It's walking in the light. That the blood of Jesus cleanses us. All right, so let's come back to my lingering question. What makes for a mature Christian? Here's where we're going to begin to unpack this. The hallmarks of Christian maturity can be developed, in fact, can only be developed by belonging to a local Christian community, in other words, for a church. And here's where we're going to begin, I hope, to unpack that. If I was to ask you, what are the traits of a mature Christian? If you were to ask me that, and I wasn't to just quote a Bible verse, I would almost immediately say things like this, the ability to forgive. You ever met a bitter person? Come on, we all have. And it's not nice. So the ability to forgive. Someone who is sweet. They forgive easily. And I have talked to you many times about the difference between trust and forgiveness. For some people, they misunderstand those terms. when we say forgive, they think we're saying you've got to go and trust that person again. Not saying that at all. In fact, the people that harm you, different word to hurt, harm you, you should forgive them. You should. And you probably shouldn't trust them. And that's not being unchristian, that's being wise. In fact, you're going to find the Bible says, do not put your trust in any man. Trust in the Lord, but don't put your trust in any man. I think you've heard me say this before, but it actually says to leaders within a church, you must be found trustworthy. So you can see where the onus is on trust. Be trustworthy. Okay, so that's what I would say. I would say forgiveness. I'd probably use words like loving. They actually really care. When I look at, there are some people in this church that are really funny. They say they haven't got a compassionate bone in their body, and yet they're the ones that take meals around to people. They're the ones that are into the hospital in a flash. So a compassionate person, someone who's compassionate. I would put that on my list of Christian maturity. Have you got some other words you would use? Some ideas, please? What's a mature Christian look like? Dedicated? Yep, sure. Disciplined? Let's unpack this now and have a look, because I think we're going to find probably all of these terms here. Put on then as God's chosen ones, and this is how Paul is saying, hey, come on, let's press on to maturity, and this is what it looks like. Holy and beloved. Holy. So here we go. Compassionate hearts, kindness, humility. What does humility look like? I know what it looks like, and I don't like it, but it's there. Meekness and patience. Meekness is holding back your strength. Bearing with one another. So in other words, there are going to be people who irritate you. Bear with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, isn't this real? Isn't this real church? You see, the Bible doesn't say, come in and it'll all be romantic and there'll be butterflies and there'll be little white angel feathers falling from the sky and there'll be gold dust, whatever you want it, and we'll pray for you and you'll always get healed and it'll be wonderful. We'll call it Shangri-La, la, 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 la. Or just La La Land for short. It actually says if one has a complaint against another. See what Paul says happens in churches? People have complaints. This is real stuff. The issue isn't that there shouldn't be complaints. It's like, okay, when this happens, this is what you do. And if one has a complaint against another, forgive. Forgive each other as the Lord has forgiven you, so you must also forgive. Now, there's a little list in there of what a mature Christian looks like. But here's my question. Let's go back and have a look at these terms. Holy, beloved, compassionate hearts. Notice these words, compassionate hearts, kindness, meekness, and patience. Can you develop those character traits in your Christian life without interacting with other people? Thank you. That was the response I hope I would get. One immediate, didn't need any thought. It's like, of course not. In order to have compassion, you've got to have somebody to be compassionate toward. In order to be kind, you've got to have, I think I might be kind to myself. Oh, you're looking suave today. Oh, thank you. It's like, you've got to have someone to be kind to. But I'm looking at lists like this in the Bible, and I don't want to die immature. I want to die mature. Or as close to mature as I can get. And I understand it's going to take humility. Apparently, if you swallow your pride, you'll never choke. You'll never get indigestion. So, humility, meekness, patience. Again, patience. I don't know how you can develop patience without interacting with other people. I just don't know how that's possible. And the verse goes on, in verse 13. Bearing with one another. I definitely do not know how you can develop that as a hallmark of Christian maturity if you're not even prepared to bear with anyone. I'm not going to church. They're all hypocrites. I'm not going to church. They hurt me. I'm not going to... We've heard all this, haven't we? people who say this. And really, it's kind of like one of those Gary Larson cartoons where, you know, a guy's speaking to his dog and he's giving this eloquent instruction to the dog, and then Gary Larson shows what the dog's actually hearing, and the dog's hearing blah, 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 blah. And when people tell me, well, you know, I'm not into church because in church they hurt, they do this, they're hypocrites, and it's, I can't even talk about it. It's like all this saying is blah, 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 I'm immature. And pretty much I haven't heard anything else except I'm really immature. Let me tell you how immature I am. Some of you are going to think twice about that complaint you had to tell me. But really, honestly, look, here's the benchmark. How do you do this without being in fellowship? This is where our small groups are really critical, because this is where it's hard work. And anyone who says, well, church is just easy, probably isn't in one. It can be really hard work. And for a church leader, it's really hard work. It takes hard work. Assembling together to worship God, be instructed in the word, celebrate the ordinance of Holy Communion, encourage one another in fellowship requires those character traits, a compassionate, humble, and forgiving heart. Sometimes the preacher, the pastor, will say something that will offend you. And it reminds me of the guy who said to his pastor at the end of the service as he was leaving, he said, Pastor, that what you said this morning, that really, really hurt. And the pastor said, oh, I'm sorry, I'm so sorry, I meant to kill you. We're meant to die to self, not just get a little bit wounded. This is good preaching, Andrew. I can see you're really warming to this, so we'll just bring this to a close. And we read in Hebrews 10:24-25, again, about fellowship. Let us consider how to stir up one another. We should be a church of stirrers. For some of you, it's going, it's my middle name. One another up in love, to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. I would never neglect to go to church on a Sunday. I would never, ever do it. Never, like, don't neglect to do it. Never do it. And you see there, this is where we get felt the link between fellowship and encouragement. But encouraging one another. So here's the question. If this is going to help provide an atmosphere of Christian maturity, what is fellowship? What is fellowship? Here's one definition. Biblical fellowship is spending time with others, that is, other believers, for the purpose of strengthening their commitment to Christ. If I can spend time with you and you come away from spending time with me going, I'm going to press in. I'm going to pick up my Bible every day. Now, gee, Andrew's really provoked me to just take some time out and pray. Start my day and pray. Then we fellowshipped. And if I come away from spending time with you going, it's worth it. Yeah, they've really encouraged me. I've got to keep going, keep doing what I'm doing and keep going. Now, this is where I bring this word triangular. The Bible presents Christian fellowship as triangular. It's God, you and me. Or God, you and the other believer. You want to get closer to the other believer, then as you get closer to God, just bring the other believer with you. That's how we get close as a church. That's how we fellowship. A believer connected to another believer through Christ. That's what we mean by triangular. It's a triangle. In 1 John chapter 1 verse 3, back a few verses from where we were before, John has this to say about how we fellowship with each other. That which we have seen and heard, we proclaim also to you, so that you too may have fellowship with us. See, there's a common reception of the gospel that enables us to have fellowship. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. So our fellowship is not direct. Our fellowship is indirect through the Father and his Son, Jesus Christ. So how can we develop the fellowship of this church? By you developing your own individual personal quiet time. How can we deepen and enrich the spiritual climate of this church? By you picking up your Bible every day, holding it, saying, God, as I open your word, speak to me. And then read. And I know there are people who say, oh, I tried that and I just can't remember it. I don't get into it. And I told you the story about the young man who came to the pastor who heard him say that. And the pastor said, in the kitchen right now, there's a big wicker basket. Could you go and just run it under the tap and fill it up, please? So the guy's there for 45 minutes, water, just running through this wicker basket. And he's going, this thing won't fill. I cannot fill this basket. And he comes with the basket to the pastor and says, hey, you told me to fill this thing with water. It won't fill. He said, yes, but look how much cleaner it is now. And that's what the word of God will do to your heart and mind. You may not hold it, but it will clean you. It will wash you. The washing of your mind by the renewing of the word, James says in James chapter 1. Notice the fellowship that the early church had. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship to the breaking of bread and prayers. Fellowship is a deeply spiritual thing. If you come over to my house this year and watch the grand final and watch Geelong win again and then leave and say, thank you, that was great fellowship, I'm going to look at you like, bless your heart. Because that's not fellowship. That's just downright good times. Rock and roll. Meat pies, holding cars. Geelong winning the grand final. That's all that is. Fellowship is when we're doing this. Now, fellowship for the early church was a formal thing as well. And this is where church membership comes into it. For some people, they say, I'll never become a church member. I'm not going to let anyone control me. Now, when I hear that, I'm hearing blah, blah, blah. I get hurt. I don't forgive. I'm immature, blah, 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 blah. Yeah, and I love you too. So this is really good. So we have this here. And when James and Cephas and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that was given to me, they gave the, here's this expression, the right hand of fellowship to Barnabas and me, that we should go to the Gentiles and they to the circumcised. What are we talking about here? We're talking about these guys coming out the front publicly, shaking their hand. It's a symbolic act. These guys have now become part of us. There's your membership. It was a ceremony in front of the church where these guys wanted in and the elders welcomed them in. Right hand of fellowship. That's the expression. So the advantage of that membership, the advantage of belonging to a church, saying this is my church home, this is where I'm planted, is that the leadership now know you're a part of that fellowship. And there's a spiritual principle in play here. We see recorded in 1 Timothy chapter 6 that Paul writes to Timothy and says, there are some women who don't deserve to be on the roll. Take them off the church roll. Now, there were certain women on the church roll that received food handouts and support. But the fact that they had a church roll meant they knew who was committed to the church. So, here's a couple of aspects and we're going to finish up. Discipline is an aspect of fellowship. I mentioned this term hurt. Sometimes leaders have to hurt people because they've strayed. The picture is of a shepherd with his shepherd's rod or crook, where you go, the sheep's wandering, going, go, hey, come back here. And there's one pesky little sheep that just won't stay in the group. So you know what the shepherd does? Anyone know? I've heard people just whisper it. They break the leg of that sheep so they won't wander. That's a biblical picture. Nice. Now, what does that look like in practical terms? It might look like saying, the responsibility that you've got, we're going to take it off you. We want you to become accountable. And that's what it looks like. Now, here's all these words we've used before. If you're on the receiving end of that, is that a pleasant experience? No. Does it hurt? Yes. Is it good for you? My word, it is. But if you're not committed to a local church and the moment you step out and someone attempts to correct you and you begin to feel hurt, as you will, and you go, that's it, they hurt me in that church, and you're off again, that's called becoming a bonsai tree. You just up, because that's what you do to a bonsai. You uproot it, snip the roots off, and plonk it in some other soil. And according to Psalm 1, we are called to be planted with our roots going down deep and drawing on the water that God brings through where we're planted. And finally, this aspect. In our church, do we have diverse opinion? Yep, sure. Unity is where we're of one heart, one mind. We've got differences, but we're doing all that stuff in Colossians 3, 12 and 13. Bearing with one another, showing compassion, showing kindness. I've got glaring weaknesses. I've got glaring blind spots. There are some things in this church, I just can't see them. You can. And because you can, you step in and you could criticize me for going, how come Andrew didn't do anything about that? He's so blind. And you're probably exactly right. But if we press toward maturity, you're going to go, yeah, he doesn't get that. I do, and I'm going to help him out, and we're going to work together on this. And that's unity. Does that make sense? It's different to unison. Let's pray. Father, help us to be the kind of church that you want us to be. Help us to walk in unity with each other. Help us, Lord, to be able to have in place those things that are going to bring you the most glory, bring the most people to Christ. Develop to the highest potential those gifts that you've placed within us. And so, Father, I commit to you every person in our church fellowship that they might know the love of God, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the fellowship with the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.
Fellowship is so much more than just hanging out under a church roof. It speaks of a vital connectedness. Next week, Dr. Corbett continues this series, The Mission of the Church, with Empowering. Podcasts and In Finding Truth Matters resources, including tonight's program, The Mission of the Church Fellowship, are available via the website findingtruthmatters.org or by contacting us at Lagana Media, P.O. Box 1143, Lagana, Tasmania 7277. Dr. Corbett is pastor of Lagana Christian Church and president of ICI Theological College Australia. We look forward to joining you again at the same time next week for another Finding Truth Matters.